السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 95 to 100 of Surah Al-An'am today. We'll start off with the word meanings. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna, indeed. Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faliqu, is one who splits. So faliq means splitter. This is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-habbi, al means the, and hab means grain. Wa-nawa, wa, and al, the, nawa, fruit stone, or pit. Yukhriju, he takes out. Kharaja means to bring forth, to take out. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. So yukhriju, he takes out. Al, the, hayya, living. Min, from. Al, the, mayyiti, dead. Wa, and mukhriju, one who takes out. Kharaja means to take out. Mim in the beginning makes this word a noun. So mukhriju, one who takes out. And this is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he takes out. Al-mayyiti, the dead. Min, from. Al-hayy, the living. Thalikum, that. O you all. Allahu, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa-anna, fa, is the prefix here, and it means then. Anna, from where or how. Tu'fakun, you all are deluded. Ifk is the root word here, and that means a lie. Okay, ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. And the ta begins with a dhamma, so this is passive. So tu'fakun, you all are deluded, you all are misled. Faliku, one who splits. Al isbah, al means the, and isbah, dawn or morning. Wa, and ja'ala, he made. Al layla, the night. Sakanan, means of rest or peace. Wa shamsa, wa, and ashamsa, the sun. Wa, and al-qamara, the moon. Husbanan, means of calculation. Hisab is the root word, and that means to calculate. So husbana, a means of accounting or calculating. Thalika, that. Taqdiru, is measuring or estimation. Al-aziz, the always almighty. Al-alim, the always all-knowing. These are both attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alim comes from the word ilm, which means knowledge. So he is al-alim, always all-knowing. Wa, and huwa, he. Alladhi, the one who, the only one who. Ja'ala, he made. Lakum, la, for. Kum, all of you. An-nujum, the stars. Al means the, and nujum is the plural form of the word najma, which means a star. So nujum, stars. Li, so that. Tahtadu, you all are guided. Huda is the root word here. Ta in the beginning means you, and waw alif in the end of this verb means this is plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people when he says this. Litahtadu, so that you all are guided, be with ha them, fi in dhulumat. This is the plural form of the word. So dhulumat, darknesses. Al-barri, al means the, and bar means the land. Wa, and al-bahri, the sea. Qade, in fact. Fassalna. Fassal means to explain in detail. Okay, to clearly explain. Na, we. So fassalna, we explained in details. We clearly explained al the ayat, verses, or ayat, li, for qawmin, a people or nation, ya'lamun, they know. Ilm is the root word here, and it means to know. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they. Ya'lamun, they know. Wa, and huwa, he, alladhi, the one who, the only one who, ansha'akum, ansha'a, he created, kum, all of you, min, from, nafsin, a soul, wahida, one, fa mustaqarrun, fa, so, mustaqar, is a dwelling or residing place, wa, and mustauda, a lodging place. Qad, in fact. Fassalna, fassal, we clearly explained. Na, at the end means we. So fassalna, we clearly explained. Al, the, ayat, verses, or revelations. Li, for qawmin, a people or nation. Yafqahoon, they understand. Fiqh is the root word here, and that means to understand in depth. Okay, to really understand, to comprehend. And ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. So it either means he or they. But then we look at the ending, which is una. So that tells us this word is plural. So it means they understand. Wa, and huwa, he, alladhi, the only one who, anzala, he sent down, min, from, as-sama'i, the sky, ma'an, water. Fa-akhrajna, fa, then, akhraj, took out, na, we, bihi, be, with, he, it, nabat. Nabat means plants and vegetation. Kulli, all, or every. Shay'in, things. Fa'akhrajna. Fa, then, akhraj, took out, na, we, min, from, who, it, khadiran. Khadiran means green vegetation. Nukhrij. The root word here again is kharaja, which means to take out or bring forth. Noon in the beginning here means we. So in this case, nukhriju means we take out, min, from, hu, it, habban, grain, mutaraqiban, once piled up or mounted, one on top of the other. Wa, and min, from, an-nakhli. Al means the, and nakhl, date palm, min, from, tal'ihi, tal'i, sprout, ha, it's, qinwanun, clusters or bunches, dania, hanging low, wa, and jannatin, this is plural, the plural form of the word jannah, so jannat, gardens, min, from, anab, grapes, wa, and azaytun, al means the, and zaytun, olives, wa, and arumman, al means the, and rumman, pomegranate, mushtabihan, as resembling or similar. Wa and guaira, not mutashabi, resembling or similar. Unzuru, see or look at. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, he is addressing everyone. Okay, so this is a command and it's plural because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing a lot of people. So unzuru, you all look or see, ila, towards or at, thamarihi, thamari, fruits, he, its, idha, when, athmara. This comes from thamar, which means fruit. So athmara becomes a verb here. So athmara, it bears fruit, wa, and yan'i, ripening, he, it. When it ripens, inna, indeed, fi in thalikum. Thalikum, thalika means that, and kum at the end means all of you. So thalikum, that for all of you, la, surely. This is a short la, it's not the lam alif, which means not. So please do not stretch this la in the beginning. It's just one letter length. So la, surely, ayat, signs. Or verses, li for qawmin, a nation or people, yu'minun, they believe. Iman is the root word and it means to believe. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. So it either means he believes or they believe. And then we look at the ending and it's una. So that means this is plural. So yu'minun, they believe. Wa and ja'alu, they made. Ja'ala means to make, and the waw alif in the end makes this word a plural. It's a verb and it's plural. Okay, so ja'alu, they made, lillahi, li, for Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shuraka'a. This is the plural form of the word sharik, which means a partner. So shuraka'a, partners. Al-jinna. Al means the jinna of the jinn. Wa and khalaqahum. Khalaqa, he created. Hum, them. Wa, while. Kharaqu, they falsely ascribed. La, for. Hu, him. Baneen, sons. This is the plural form of the word bani, which means this is plural for the word ibn, which means son. Okay, so it can either be bani or baneen. Here it says banina, the full word, and it means sons. Wa and banatin, daughters. This is a plural form of the word bint, which means daughter. So banat, daughters, bi, with, ghayr, out, ilmin, knowledge. Subhanahu, subhana, glory be, who, to him. So subhana, glory, who, his. So his glory. Free of all defects is he. Wa, and, ta'ala, he is exalted. Amma, this is a compound word, an and ma put together. So an, from, ma, whatever, yasifun, they ascribe. Alhamdulillah. So yasifun begins with a ya, and it's in the third person. So we look at the ending, which is una. Okay, and that makes it clear that this word means they ascribe, not he ascribes. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ayah number 95. Inna Allaha faliqul habbi wan nawa. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the seed and the fruit stone to split. He causes it to sprout. He tells us what he is capable of doing in this ayah. And He tells us what he has blessed us with, and he has continued to bless us with since we were born. We've been enjoying these blessings, these favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since he created us, since we were born. He tells us about the cycle. Okay, this cycle of plants and vegetation growing that has been benefiting us all throughout our lives, and it will continue to do so. He mentions the favors that he has bestowed upon us, because this surah emphasizes on Tawheed. Okay, it teaches us to believe in one Allah. Okay, so we haven't recognized him the way we should, and that's why we don't value him as we should. So he tells us who he is. He introduces himself. He says that he is the one who splits the seed and the stone. Anyone who enjoys gardening can understand that once we plant a seed, nobody is capable of causing it to split and sprout from the hard earth, right? We can't make that happen. We can't speed up that process. That seed or the stone that's planted is very small. Imagine a date stone that's planted. Can anyone cause that hard stone to split and then sprout from the hard earth that it's planted in? Nobody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only he can do it. Nobody else can cause it to sprout. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ. He brings forth the living from the dead. How does that happen? Let's take a look at the example of an egg. Okay? The egg is dead, but a chick comes from that egg and it's alive. Right? So even though the egg was dead, the chick that comes out of the egg is alive. A living plant comes out from the dead seed. People are born from a dead semen drop. These are all different ways that he brings forth the living from the dead. And then he says, وَمُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتِ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. And he brings forth the dead from the living. Now, how does that happen? How does he bring forth the dead from the living? What are some examples? Think about how the chicken lays an egg. The chicken is living, right? But the egg that it lays, the egg that hen lays, is dead, right? So even though that hen was living, the egg it laid was dead. The semen is not living, and it's emitted from a living man. There are seeds and stones that are not alive on living plants. Likewise, a living person dies. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes this cycle to repeat. On a daily basis, this happens. Living things come from the dead, and dead things come from the living. Normally, people would think that something living would only come from something that is alive, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes some dead things come from living things also, subhanAllah, because he is capable of doing anything. Dhalikumullah. That, oh you all, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who does all this. He is your ilah. فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. Then how are you all deluded? Why are you being misled? When people ask for signs of Allah to be able to recognize him, these signs that we see all the time should be enough to recognize him. People see these things happening all the time, but they don't think about the one who makes all these things happen. Just think about how a semen drop that enters the womb of a mother comes out as a living baby, subhanAllah. Isn't that a miracle? How can people ask for miracles when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that happen? How did that drop of semen become a living baby? Scholars say that this ayah can be interpreted a different way as well. The living comes from the dead can mean righteous children being born to evil parents, to parents that are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dead coming from the living can mean sinful children that are born to pious parents. Because the evil or sinful people are described as being dead, and the righteous ones are living. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the dead come from living, and the living come from the dead in that way also. Allahu Akbar. فارق الإصباح, one who splits the morning, the one who splits the dawn. The word used here is فارق, which means splitter. This is because when we look at the sunrise, it looks like a cut has been made in the dark sky and light comes forth. The light shines through. It looks like a line that goes up and just spreads, as if the sheet of darkness has just been cut or torn to let the light shine through. A thin line. Even with all the advancements in technology, people still cannot make the sun rise at a different time than it should. Okay? They can't change that time from the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed for it. They are not capable of changing it. They can't make the sun come out when they choose to. They cannot make the earth rotate any faster to bring the sunlight earlier than it's expected. And neither can they slow the rotation of the earth to make the night longer. They have to follow the cycle of nature exactly as it is. Exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for it to follow. And they have to accept it. So why don't they believe in the Lord who controls all of it? No matter how powerful a ruler may be, that ruler cannot make the sun come out earlier or delay it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the daybreak from the dark. Then why do they still not recognize him? وَجَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا, and he made the night for rest. Subhanallah. Nighttime is also one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't think that it's something bad when the night sets. It's actually one of his great favors upon us that he makes it dark at night so we can actually rest. It's a means of peace because we are able to sleep in it. And sleep brings peace and it relaxes people. Our bodies repair and maintain themselves during sleep, especially at night. Health experts now agree that sleeping enough at night is crucial for our well-being. No matter how much a person sleeps during the day, they cannot replace the benefits of nighttime sleep. Sleeping at night is essential for our physical and mental health. Okay? Just like we turn out the lights for our kids when we put them to bed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns out all the lights in nature. He switches them off so we can sleep peacefully at night. Because it's easier to fall asleep when it's dark. So nighttime is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He even makes the animals and the birds that we hear during the daytime, he makes them go to sleep at night. Everyone returns home at night at the end of the day. We are forced to stop whatever work we do all day and we just go to sleep. We naturally start getting sleepy when it gets dark And if it didn't get dark, we would just keep on going. We would keep on working and not slow down. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of forces us to rest out of mercy towards us. And He knows that we would break down if we worked constantly without resting. So He has set a time for work and nighttime for rest. The daytime is meant for work and nighttime to rest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There are planets where the day is longer. So nighttime comes after a much later time than it does for us here on Earth. Or the daytime is much shorter than ours. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has balanced our day and night so well. Doesn't that prove that there is a God who has programmed all this to happen? He is all-knowing. He is all-aware and He is all-able. He knows all our needs and He has set up a whole system accordingly. If people could set up their own times to sleep, their own nighttime, everyone would choose their own hours. But think of how that would disturb the harmony in nature. We are disturbed by the slightest sound in our room at night when we're asleep, right? So how would we have been able to sleep well if everyone came up with their own nighttime hours? Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it dark for everyone at the same time. So we all start to unwind and wrap up for the day to rest. If we think about how He has set up nighttime for us to sleep, we can easily understand how much He loves us. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ حُسْبَانًا. And He made the sun and the moon a means of calculation. He makes the rising and the setting of the sun and the moon for us to determine the time. He makes that happen so we can determine the time. So we calculate our days, weeks, months, and years according to the sun and the moon. And this also means that He calculated the rising and setting of the sun and moon precisely. Husbanan can mean that He has done it with an exact calculation. Their times are so accurate. The time when the sun rises and sets and when the moon rises and sets, they follow a schedule that is very accurate. This is why we have the Salah calendar, our prayer calendar for the months ahead that are still to come. Because the sun is so disciplined, it follows the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for it to rise and set. It follows the guidelines given by Allah. If it were to rise early or to set earlier, according to what it felt like doing, it would create chaos in our lives. If the sun were to rise later one day or slow down because it was too tired, like we often do, if the sun did that, we wouldn't have been able to make the calendars that we follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed the sun and the moon to follow their times exactly. If the moon did not go through its phases, it wouldn't have been possible to calculate the days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the moon and sun go through different phases so we can make calendars and follow them according to the sun and the moon. And we can keep track of our days and weeks, months and years. We have the solar and the lunar calendars that help us determine our times of ibadat, our times of worship. Even though the solar calendar is widely followed, we should know that both the solar and the lunar calendars are followed in Islam. We use the solar calendar for our times of prayer, right? Our times of Salah, and we use the lunar calendar for keeping track of our months. So we should keep track of the lunar calendar so we can find out when the Islamic New Year begins. And so that we know when Muharram, Shawwal, and Ramadan and all these other months begin. So we can take advantage of those sacred months especially. And we can follow the rules that are meant to be followed and avoid doing the things that we must stay away from during some sacred months. And of course, we have to follow the solar calendar as well, because it helps us tell the time. It is meant as husban, and we pray our five daily prayers according to the sun. So nobody should think that we should only follow the lunar calendar in Islam. We follow both of the calendars, okay, the lunar and the solar calendars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made both of them, the moon and the sun, a means of calculating time for us. We look at the clock when we need to check the time, right? But the sun is programmed to follow an exact schedule that changes on a daily basis, just a little bit. And it's been following that schedule for thousands of years. The sun and the moon have been following the same cycles over and over again for hundreds of thousands of years. Don't we ever stop to think that there is a God who controls them? There is a higher being that controls them. How can anyone deny that there's God after seeing all these signs? And it doesn't make sense to say that there's more than one God either, because there would not be so much harmony in nature if there had been more than one God. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ This is the estimation of the Almighty, the All-Knowing. These are the arrangements done with precision by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He decided when the sun and moon should be, where they should be at each second. And He decided what speed they should be moving at, okay, and where they should be moving to. These things are all estimated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the one with all the power and all the knowledge. He knows exactly how things should be because He has all the knowledge of all the things. This is how He arranged all these things so perfectly, with every minute detail. Because He knows everything, and His order governs the universe. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ النُّجُومَ And He is the one who has made the stars for you. All the things in nature that we're learning about here cannot be controlled by anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can make the sun rise, or the stars, the other stars, come or hide or go away at a different time than they do. And nobody can make the moon shine. So it's obvious that there is one ilah who is controlling all these things. And it only makes sense to believe in that one God. A lot of times, people think that they're capable of doing anything, right? But they can't bring about the stars. Right? There are so many things that we can't do as humans. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created them. Some of these stars that we're talking about are so big that the sun is much smaller in comparison. And we think the sun is huge because it's closer to us, right? But those stars, a lot of them are much bigger than the sun. The sun is a star too, but it's smaller than many of the others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the stars. لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ So that you might find your way with them in the darkness of the land and the sea. When people go out to the sea, they don't have any tracks that they can follow, right? They look at the stars to figure out the direction. They didn't have any GPS device in the earlier times. So their navigation systems were based on the stars. And they also figured out what time of night it was according to the location of certain stars. because they would look at the stars and be able to figure out what direction they were traveling in based on where they saw those stars. That's how people figured out the way in the desert too. They looked at the star to figure out which way was north and which was south. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the purpose of the stars is to find the way. The stars are not meant to determine people's fortune. That is not the purpose of the stars, to predict the future or for fortune telling. That is not what they're meant for. There are actually three different purposes of the stars, as we learn from the Quran. Only three. Okay, the first is mentioned here, which is to find the way. The second is mentioned in Surah Al-Mulk, and that's to throw at the eavesdropping devils. Okay, these stars are thrown as flames at the eavesdropping devils who go up to the sky to listen to the angels. The third is also listed in Surah Al-Mulk, and that is to beautify the sky. That's the third reason for the stars, the purpose of their creation, to adorn the sky. So these are the uses of the stars. Okay, so the first is in this ayah, to find the way. Second is to throw at the eavesdropping devils. And the third is to beautify the star, the sky. Scholars say that if anyone uses the stars for any other purpose, that person has gone against the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person goes against the rules of Allah. Anyone who tries to use the stars for any other purpose is batil. It's falsehood. And hadith tells us, whoever tries to seek ilm of the stars for fortune telling has learned a portion of magic. And this is narrated by Abu Dawood. And we know that magic is haram. So ilmi nujum, okay, the knowledge of stars, is the ilm of magic. It's the knowledge of magic. So if anyone asks us what our star is, or they think, or they even hint at how our star has an impact on our personality or our fortune, we should tell them it's not permissible to follow such things because they are all wrong and a portion of magic. Okay, as this hadith tells us. So it's haram. If anyone still believes that the stars influence our fate somehow, that's shirk. Okay, and we know that shirk will never be forgiven, so we must avoid these things. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to benefit or harm. Stars cannot benefit or harm us. We already learned that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to cause some harm somehow, nobody can prevent it from happening. So how can the stars affect anyone in any way? How can people believe that our lives are affected by the movement of the stars? We have to discourage such things. We should never believe this or listen to anyone who claims that the stars do affect us. And if anyone says that they do, we should tell them that we don't believe such things because it's not allowed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah that the stars were created to help us find the way, whether we are on land or the sea. People who study the movement of stars and they claim that they can predict our future by their movement, say that they look to the stars for guidance in that way. Na'udhu billah. They distort this ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they say that. The purpose of the stars is to find the way, to find the direction. It's not to predict the future, which is the ghaib. It's the unknown, the unseen, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the ghaib. When people try to interpret this ayah in that way, that they're using the stars to find the way, they say, it says, لِتَهْتَدُوا بِهَا, to find the way with him. We should tell them that we can only interpret the Quran according to how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it. We can't come up with our own interpretations. He never explained this ayah the way they try to interpret it. And he never told us that it means to seek knowledge of the stars. Even in his time, there were fortune tellers around and people who claimed that they could predict the future using knowledge of the stars. But he clarified that it was haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden people to believe in such things. قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا الْآيَاتِ In fact, we have openly explained the verses. We explain the ayat in detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. For who? لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ For people who know. For people with knowledge. People with common sense are the ones who benefit from these ayat. However, there are others who claim to be educated or wise, but they're so ignorant that they don't benefit from these ayat. They don't think about them. But people with understanding, people with common sense, do use these ayat to their advantage. And ilm or knowledge should lead people to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, no matter how much ilm people seek, it's useless if they don't recognize the one who gave them that knowledge. People study the sciences and math and languages, but it's sad to see that they don't recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He is the one who taught them that knowledge. He gave them that knowledge. Ilm is what leads us to recognize our Creator. And anyone who doesn't know the Creator isn't really knowledgeable. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ And He is the one who has created you from a single soul. Think about this. There are billions of people out there, and they were all created from one soul. Adam alayhi salam. فَمُسْتَقَرٌ وَمُسْتَوْدَعٌ Then He granted you a residing place and a lodging place. He granted you a dwelling, a mustaqar, and that's where people will stay long term. And mustawda is where people stay short term. It's temporary. Scholars have interpreted this ayah in many ways. Some explain that the womb of the mother is the mustaqar, and the sulb of the father is the mustawda. Because it was there for a short time, and then the baby is in the womb of a mother for a long time. So that's the mustaqar. Others say that the mother's womb is the mustawda because it's just the baby's there temporarily. And the life of this world is the mustaqar because that's where the baby is long term. That's where the baby lives. After it's born. Some explain that this dunya, or the life of this world, is the mustawda, meaning that we are here short term, and the mustaqar is the hereafter. And the mustaqar is made of the life of the grave, the day of judgment, and everything, all the phases after death. And others say that the grave is the mustawda, it's temporary, and then the hereafter, the phases after that, are the mustaqar. So all these explanations help us understand this ayah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed a mustaqar and mustawda for all of us. All these explanations are correct. Okay, because we all have a mustawda and then we move on to the mustaqar. Then that phase becomes the mustawda and we move on to another mustaqar, right? One thing after another. So to summarize it, this whole life is our mustawda. It's all temporary. When we are asked what our permanent address is, we fill out the address where we live, right? We write that down. But that address is temporary. Just the address of the home where we live in right now. Even if we have had this address for a long time, for many years, it's still not our mustaqar because it's just temporary. We are constantly moving from one phase to the next. We're all just traveling through the phases of life, from youth to old age and so on. So the real mustaqar is the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us all a place to stay there in the hereafter. When it comes to the mustawda, think of examples from this life. Like when we go and stay at a hotel for a few days, or the place where we live, the country or the city and the exact address of our home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed all of it. He has also decided where our graves are going to be. That grave is our mustaqar. But eventually, it's going to become a mustawda because we will all be resurrected from there and move on from there too. So the real mustaqar for everyone is either Jannah or Jahannam. Okay, that's where we're, that's our ultimate destination. Okay, either Jannah or Jahannam. Those are the final residing places for everyone. One of those two. After all the other phases of the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all high ranks in Jannah. May He forgive us. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So, no matter how permanent or mustaqar the other phases seem to be, they are all mustawda. Okay, because we move on from one phase to the next until we end up in our final phase, which is to end up in Jannah or Jahannam. Na'udhu billah. Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. And all these phases have been decreed already by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the place where we're going to end up, where we die, that has also been determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already. He has determined our mustaqar and mustawda. People cannot decide these things for themselves. Allah has decreed regarding these things. قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَفْقَهُونَ. In fact, we have explained the verses very clearly for people of understanding. The last ayah ended with لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ, right? But this one ends with لِقَوْمٍ يَفْقَهُونَ. Why? Because first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the signs in the universe, right? He told us about the stars, the moon, the sun, the day and night. Everyone can see these signs clearly, right? These signs are very clear to everyone. Now, in this ayah, we learned about the signs within our nafs, and we have to ponder and reflect. We have to think deeply about how so many humans spread just from one man. And how there is a mustawda and mustaqar for each and every one of us. We need to ponder on this ayah to understand that. That's why this ayah ends with the word yafqahoon, for people of understanding, for people who stop and think to understand. They ponder on these ayah to be able to understand. Because the points from this ayah are not as easy to understand. So we have to think about how He has decreed different forms of mustawda for us and different forms of mustaqar and what the ultimate mustaqar will be to understand this better. Many times we plan to live in a certain place, right? We think, okay, I'm going to be here for this long, but we end up somewhere else. Or sometimes we think that we're going to live in a certain place for the rest of our lives, but we end up moving a lot of times. It happens because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for it to happen that way. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً And he is the one who sends down rainwater from the sky. By mentioning the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over, He wants us to understand how helpless we are. That we are not capable of doing anything. And how He has absolute control over us. People try to follow their nafs, right? Because they say that they just want to do as they please. They just want to follow their desires. They cross the limits of Allah and transgress. They disobey Him. As if they can do whatever they want. But these ayat should help us understand how incapable we really are. So how can we dare to disobey Him? We can't control the day or night, nor can we control the stars or determine our mustauda or mustaqar. We're not capable of doing any of these things. So why don't we listen to the one who controls all these things? It's obvious that there is one God who controls all these matters. And we have no control over them whatsoever. So how can anyone deny that God exists? It's really hard to be an atheist. It would be really hard for a person to remain an atheist. After having studied ayat like this, when there are so many proofs that are given that we can clearly see that are out there that lead to us, that lead us to believe that there is one creator of all these things. All the signs that we've been studying in these ayat, they lead us to the one and only creator. Right? So how can anyone who studies or reads these ayat even doubt that there is one God who creates them all? All the signs in the universe prove that there is only one Ilah that created everything. One. It's not possible to deny that or to say that there may have been more than one creator. Astaghfirullah. There's no way that everything would go in perfect harmony otherwise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sends rainwater from the sky. There are parts of the world where it doesn't rain, and because of that, the ground is so dry and it has cracks in it. Rain is actually a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a mercy. If it doesn't rain somewhere, people start to face droughts. It's predicted that there will be a time when it will be hard to find water on certain parts of the earth, and it won't rain. And there will be other parts of the earth that will just drown. They'll be flooded. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ نَبَاتًا كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Then we took out plants of all kinds with it. Okay, so nabata means plants and vegetation. This is why farmers pray for the rain after they plant the seed. And the rains make the vegetation grow when it rains at the right time. At a specific time. If the rain comes at a time when it shouldn't, it can actually destroy the crops. فَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهُ خَدِرًا Then we bring out from it green crops. خُدِرًا means green, okay? Green vegetation. So خَدِرًا is green crops. Nabat is a word that was used for the sprouts in the initial phase. Okay, in the part where it says, فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ نَبَاتَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ And here it says, فَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهُ خَدِيرًا So خَدِيرًا comes from the nabat, which was the sprouts in the initial phase. So from them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out green plants from those sprouts. He produces minhu habban mutarakiban, from it grain piled up. He brings out grains mounted on each other, one on top of the other. We usually don't see that happen because we just buy the grain when we need it and it's ready for our use. We take it for granted. But imagine if it stopped raining, or the earth were to stop producing the grain that we use. What would happen? Then we would actually understand this whole process that leads to the production of that grain. No matter how much money anyone has, if the earth did not grow crops, we would not be able to get them. So instead of thinking that we can get the grains we use from the grocery store, we should be thinking of the one who produced it for us. Our Lord, who has allowed the grain to grow so we can use it. We wouldn't be able to get it if He didn't allow it to grow. He produces the grain that is piled up, mutarakiban. And we can see this easily when it comes to corn. If we look at corn on the cob, if we look at the ear of corn, we see that the kernels are piled up as if one is on top of the other, like pearls on a necklace, subhanAllah. Think about who created it. The earth would not have had the intelligence to make it grow that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled it to happen. وَمِنَ النَّخْلِ مِنْ طَلْئِهَا قِنْوَانٌ دَانِيَةٌ. And from the palm trees, laden with clusters of dates hanging within reach, hanging low. You might have seen big bunches of dates hanging really low from palm trees. Or even if you haven't, you may have seen pictures of how amazing they look, subhanAllah. وَجَنَّاتٍ مِّنْ أَعْنَابٍ, and gardens of grapes. وَالزَّيْتُون, and the olives. The olive is considered a fruit and a vegetable. وَالرُّمَّان, and pomegranates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these fruits by name. And they're all fruits from Jannah. They are really good for us. Their fruit is مُشْتَبِهًا وَغَيْرًا مُتَشَابِهًا. So their fruit resembles in kind, yet it's different in variety. And there are many fruits that look similar, like melons, but there are so many different kinds, and they all taste different. Others are the same color, but they smell and taste different from each other. SubhanAllah. So there are many fruits like that. They are mushtabihan wa ghayra mutashabi. This happens even though they grow from the same earth, and they're watered the same way. The sun shines on all the different fruits in the same way, but they all turn out differently. They look and taste different from each other. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make them grow, can anyone else do it? Of course not. And there will be a time when the earth won't grow a lot of the crops anymore, and food will become scarce. But right now, we take the crops the earth grows for us for granted. But isn't it a miracle that it grows fruits and vegetation from seeds that are planted? We've seen these signs around us ever since we were really young, so we don't really think about it much. But subhanAllah, if we take out the time to make a list of the different fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, it's amazing. Each one of us should think about it this way. Allah has created this just for me. He made the earth grow fruits for me. He decorated the sky with stars for me. Because after all, it's humans who enjoy looking at the stars in the dark night, not the animals, right? He adorned the sky for us, so it looks beautiful to us. These huge shining stars have been set in the sky for us, even though we're so small. But this isn't difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. So he did it. They shine so brightly, like diamonds. So the sky looks so beautiful to us. When we think about most fruits, there's a big variety to choose from. Each category has a different variety. Take dates, for example. There are so many different kinds of dates, and each kind tastes different from the other. They are similar, but they're different at the same time, right? They might be different in color, in size, and even in taste. And it's the same thing with grapes. They're all similar, but there are so many different colors, like green and red and purple and black, and they taste different too from one another. This applies to so many fruits. The basic shape and taste is the same, but each variety has a distinct taste that makes it a little bit different. And it has a distinct look that is different from the others. Look at their fruits as they yield and ripen. This means that we should look and think about this. We should look at these signs and think about them. We shouldn't just be eating these things and say, oh, these are so good. We have to be grateful for them. Think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to grow for us, and how He gave them their shape, the smell and color and taste that they have, and how He made them ripe. How does all that happen? Who does all that for us? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكُمْ لَآيَاتٍ لِكَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, in these things, there are signs for true believers. These are signs for people who believe. Those who believe in Allah see so many signs in these examples. But the person who disbelieves is blind to the truth. That person doesn't believe, even after enjoying these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those who do believe, they can easily understand that nobody is capable of creating these things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're not able to create or control the blessings that are mentioned in these ayat, then obviously there is one God making it all happen and controlling it all. وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ الْجِنَّ. Yet they make the jinns as the partners of Allah. Na'udhu billah. They think that the jinnat are capable of doing certain things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing. وَخَلَقَهُمْ. Even though He created them. وَخَرَقُوا لَهُمْ. And they falsely ascribe to Him بَنِينَ وَبَنَاتِ. Sons and daughters. بِغَيْرِ ilm. Without having any knowledge, they made that up. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send any proof of this with any of His messengers, they falsely ascribed to Him sons and daughters. They said that Isa alayhi salam was the son of Allah, na'udhu billah, and that the angels were His daughters, na'udhu billah, and they made the jinnat His partners. But how can that be? When He created all of them, is it possible for Him to have children or partners when He created all of them? Subhanahu, glory to Him. He is free of all defects. Ascribing sons and daughters to Him, or saying that jinnat are His partners, is like saying that He has defects or shortcomings. Astaghfirullah. People take partners in life because they cannot handle everything on their own. Okay, this is why they take business partners too. Either when they're not able to handle the whole business on their own, alone, or when they need the other person to invest money. And the reason why people want kids is because they know that they're going to die And they want their kids to take over their properties and handle all their matters after they're gone. And they want kids so that they can care for them when they become old. So they can care and support them. Care for and support them. Also, they want someone to remember them after they're gone, when they die. So they want sons and daughters. Some people want kids because they feel lonely. They just don't want to be alone. They want their kids to be there for them, to support them when they need that support. There is no death or end for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no old age or weakness for Him either. So why would He need kids? He doesn't change with times like humans do. He doesn't age. For us, once we reach the peak of our youth, around 30 years of age, we start going downhill. It's downhill afterwards. Each year that passes after 30 decreases us in strength. And we're not capable of doing as much work as we did the previous year. And over time, we lose the capacity to absorb a lot of information at once, as we were able to do when we were younger. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that stays the same, because there is no downfall for Him. So when someone says that he has a son or daughters, it's a great thing that they're saying that's coming out of their mouths. It's not like he needs kids to depend on. He doesn't rely on anyone. And there is no end for him. So anyone who says that he has children is ascribing faults and defects to him. A lot of them. Okay, and there is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lacks in. Okay, so we can't say that. Nobody can say that. We are the ones who need kids because we are going to die. Do people who say that Allah has a son or daughters think that that's going to happen with him? So he needs kids to handle everything after him? Astaghfirullah. And shirk is such a great sin. He has all the control. He has all the power over everything. So how can people dare to make partners with him? Nobody has the authority to do that. That's why the Arabs used to say, there's no partner for you, O Allah, besides who you make your partner yourself. Astaghfirullah. So they used to twist their words to be able to do what they wanted. But that doesn't make sense. He didn't take any partners because there's no need for him to do so. If someone does that, it means that they think he needs a partner. After all the people, angels, and everything else dies on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ? For whom is the kingship today? And nobody will answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the only one who remains. Right? So he doesn't need anyone. And when people commit shirk, they associate partners with him. They basically fabricate a great lie against him. And they say that he needs a partner, na'udhu billah. But we say that he is free of all defects. Subhanahu, glory be to him, wa ta'ala, and he is highly exalted, amma yasifun, from whatever they ascribe. He is highly exalted, far above anything they ascribe. Allahu Akbar. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته